Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Don Allen in Studio A. Over in Studio B, I'm Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you, sir?
I cannot complain, Donald. We have snow here in Minneapolis, if you will. I assume it'll be gone in a couple of days. You know, it's kind of scary, but what I'm doing, I've got a missing warrant, if you will. Is the mayor of our city, is he still in town or what? What's happened to him since the Donald and Bob Crow took over and basically running things? I mean, do we have city government? Where's our city council, man? I haven't heard anything from anybody.
No, it's been kind of quiet, Mr. Edwards. The mayor, the city council, it's like they went down in the fortified bunker here Thursday morning. They haven't come out yet. Maybe we should go down there and knock on the door and get them out of that bunker and let them know that, you know, your president is gone home.
Yeah, because the big guy got on his Air Force One later on that night and flew on out of here back to the Potomac, if you will, Washington, D.C. I was expecting to hear some things yesterday, if you will, and et cetera, from the leadership of the ecumenical community, our political community. You know, Amy Klobuchar, you know, was talking tough, but she was way out there on the campaign trail, you know what I mean? And after the Donald beat up on our little mayor like he did, the mayor kind of disappeared for us, because I was expecting him to talk in terms of how much money. Man, is it true they are saying that Donald Trump took over $4 million out of the state of Minnesota in donations and et cetera? Can we confirm that, Donald?
You know, there's some chatter going on in the Whisper campaign out here, and they're saying that President Trump came in here and rolled out of here beautifully. You know, the amounts
undetermined. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing the same amount, at least $4 million he took out of here?
I'm hearing $4 to $5 million. I'm hearing, you know, that, you know, private check bearers that wanted a chance to shake the president's hand, you know, put nice amounts, you know, in their little PACs and their little community orgs and made sure that, you know, President Trump knew that Minnesota was fully standing right next to him all the way through here. And I'm proud of Minnesota today.
Yes, I know you are, Don. I know that you folks on the right are just smirking and Jimmy and et cetera. I'm hearing a number of things. Maybe we, you know, get some to Trump supporters who I'd really want to hear from is the Democrat blacks, because here's what happened. There were blacks in the inside of the Target Center, if you will. I saw a number of blacks standing behind the president. They had blacks down there decorated like Christmas trees, wearing the Trump colors and et cetera. They had a couple brothers they had brought in here 2 days prior, if you will, and they were looking like kind of like a combination of Uncle Sam and, you know, and a black Donald Trump. Cut clothing and et cetera, you know what I mean? Wasn't putting on nothing that wasn't anything. Also, I was surprised the quietness in downtown. I got no sooner than the Donald left and Billy Bob and then got back on them buses and on them airplane and flew on back out of here, I noticed that we went to killing each other again. I understand that one homicide and one in the critical condition. Is that correct? Are you seeing the same thing on your teletype?
Yes, sir. I'm looking here at the news feed, the national news feed, and it's telling us that In North Minneapolis, again, for the consistent weekend since, you know, the beginning of the year, going from last year, no segue, just we have one person killed and one person in critical condition down at North Memorial, excuse me. And it continues, Mr. Edward. It does continue.
Yes, and it's one of the reasons that Bob Crow has been proclaimed, you know, someday. I don't know if Bob still lives in Minneapolis, if you will. You know, if I'm not mistaken, your kid grew up northeast Minneapolis. I remember at one point he and John DeMonico, Big John DeMonico, who, friend of mine, or they, you know, they were all close persons. But I understand that the Police Federation took down thousands and thousands of dollars. I understand they still have orders for upwards of 5,000 T-shirts. They still orders. I'm not talking about the all those 4,000 T-shirts that they sold and were being worn by their base, if you will. Now, Antifa was allegedly in town along with Black Lives Matter, but they didn't come out until the Donald had gone back to the airport and got on Air Force One, and then once they, I guess, heard from whatever sources they had that he was born, if you will, him being president, they came out and tried to engage the Minneapolis Police Department, which repelled them. I'll use the military terms since we've got conflict again with Turkey killing Kurds in record numbers over there in the Middle East. But anyways, I'm trying to figure out. I thought maybe I did a Rip Van Winkle and must have fallen off, you know, a long enduring sleep. Because did I miss any statements and press releases from the liberals, but particularly in our own African American community, that the clergy and our Black politicians were there statements issued by them yesterday?
You know, Mr. Edwards, it's funny that you say that because there wasn't, you could hear a rat poop on cotton. It was so quiet. There was no official statements. There was no press conferences, you know. Well, they might be undercover Trump supporters. You know, you never know. But there was nothing about any of this, any of the things that were going on, you know, in the community. And it was kind of shocking because, you know, when you just talked about the T-shirts, now the marketing angle and the psychology of what Officer Union President, Police Union President Bob
Lieutenant,
Crow
Lieutenant
did was
Lieutenant
amazing.
Because the president sure gave him his proper. Lieutenant Bob Crow. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Don.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what he did is, you know, these T-shirts, you know, he wasn't selling them for profit at $20 each. They were all proceeds benefited the POFM charity. Local charity, and so it's unprecedented that this guy would order these shirts, you know, off his buck, and then turn around and for every shirt sold for $20, 100% of the dollars go to this charity, you know, and that's a great example of philanthropy that doesn't happen in any level in the Black community. You know, we could start talking about
you're
the credit union
right,
now.
I hate to agree with you from the left, but you're absolutely correct. I've had a number of people call me from around the country, and they were saying, you know, at what point does the African-American leadership, you know, just take advantage of some situation and call their base to arms, if you will. And, you know, people kind of laugh at you, you know, like, are you kidding? I mean, and so this whole you know analysis by you is an example that you know looks like leadership is still in a bunker somewhere, and like I said, I don't know if the mayor's still in town or what because I'm hearing people talking about Bob Crow for mayor if he still resides in Minneapolis or he can do like most of the politicians do, he can move back, get a small apartment there, and that all that. Expansion that's going on right on the edge of downtown with all those condos and et cetera that the average person can't afford. By the way, just on that quick note, St. Paul has basically declared a state of emergency with regards to the homelessness. Don, and we did a piece here, what, about 5 months ago. People said we were being toxic. The homeless situation in our two beloved cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, is just off of the chart. And this wind and 45, 50 mile an hour wind and the snow on the ground here this morning in our beloved city, and which would also mean St. Paul, that people are, and Reggie Chapman of WCCO, the CBS affiliate here in the Twin Cities, he interviewed an African-American young woman, probably in her early 40s, and she was over there on, it's in your area over in that, Don, back that way, Shepherd Road, is that Shepherd mm-hmm. Road back in there? And the Melvin Carter has ordered that that the people will have to get up and get out of there. You know, do you know that the shelters in both Minneapolis and St. Paul are filled to capacity? And yet, Bob Crow and the Police Federation, had over three-fourths of their officers, if you will, called to arms and bought or sold thousands of dollars of red T-shirts, if you will, in support of the big guy. And you just have to be, you know, honest and indicate to the general public that that's what happened. Because the national news yesterday, right, Don, tried to pretend like there had been a equal number of left-wingers out on the streets. Now, you and I know, because we did our analysis and surveys and et cetera, it wasn't even, the left wasn't even close to that number, correct?
No, not at all. Not at all. And it's really, it's something interesting you said, Mr. Evers, because this homeless thing, and you put it together eloquently, you know, if someone representing President Trump, the police officers and police union can get together and do something as so simple as a T-shirt and raise money for a charity, and we're sitting out here as the black community begging these philanthropic agencies for nickels and dimes while they're playing with billions, and something that simple can come through and raise thousands of dollars for a charity to keep them, you know, saturated and fluid. What the hell are we doing, Mr. Edwards?
I have no idea. I think it's a shame what has happened. And we saw all the relevant moments, if you will, of that with regards to the silence from the liberal left. I mean, Antifa, I mean, coming out after the president had left. And by the way, they were met by the elite of the Minneapolis Police Department's special forces, if you will, who just ran them up out of downtown and back onto the freeway and et cetera. And I'm like, well, these folks are always telling us how tough they are and et cetera. But it just did not materialize. We saw nothing. We heard nothing nor saw anything from our black ecumenical leadership, you know. I mean, should we not have heard something with regards to some of the things? And by the way, Donald Trump blasted Omar, who I guess was not even in the continental United States. Oh, by the way, she's just as we first reported on the Ron and Don program in February of this year. I see she divorced her husband.
Yeah. Well, you know, if allegedly, she was having an affair out in the East Coast with that young man because his wife put it in the documents of their divorce decree. And, you know, you can't come back here, but Mr. Edwards, on that note, shouldn't this spark some kind of ethical investigation from Congress?
Well, particularly that I'm hearing rumors now. Again, let me clarify for the Ron and Don program that it is rumors, but it is consistent with what is being said by, get this, people in the Somali community. And I'll tell you something that Omar and her people did, which I thought was pretty chintzy, and also jeopardized the safety of the Somali population. Somalis were bussed into the Twin Cities on Thursday afternoon, Thursday morning, preparing for the arrival of the Donald from outstate Minnesota, and the very small number, and just very small, about six, if you will, of the Somali officers that are still left police officers that are still left in the Minneapolis Police Department advised the leadership, including Omar, that don't do that because Billy Bob and them were waiting. They were waiting for a confrontation. But anyways, Omar participated in really forcing the Somali citizens to attend supporting Donald Trump. Supporting Trump.
Mm.
Okay, you know. And I'm just saddened by this and the silence. But you know, the only in the Somali community really, the only persons that really stood up were the six black Somali officers that they still have left in the Minneapolis Police Department. And so I'm just trying to figure out what the heck, you know, is going to be the cover story, okay? I mean, I know there's some folks right now that like to put their finger on that, you know, that phone and call Donnie and Ronnie and get our minds right. But, you know, it can't get me right. It speaks for itself because Donald Trump put 40,000 people, quote, unquote, in the seats and on the streets, 40,000. Okay, they know what the number was. A Secret Service who has one of the best systems of monitoring, surveillance, and et cetera. They were licking their lollipops and were counting the numbers. And so that's what happened up here in our beloved liberal, tough talking Minnesota. You know, there were just about 40,000 people. You know, they played a trick on Don. And my role certainly is to make sure that we have all of the clear intelligence information, is that the security teams locked all the doors at street level. And see, the only way that you could get into the Target Center, you had to use the Skyway.
Mm.
And while some of the TV stations, were
okay.
Talking in terms that there was massive numbers of protesters and et cetera out in the street and et cetera, so that those weren't, you know, left-wing liberals and et cetera. That was the folks who didn't have the necessary ticket to get in, Trump supporters. And the numbers estimated by the Secret Service is close to 40,000. 20,000 there in the Target Center. Another 15,000 to 20,000 on the streets. And then I have to say this because, you know, they folks will get in Bob Crow's face, but they really won't, if you know what I mean, Don. And when the president called Lieutenant Bob Crow, president of the Minneapolis Police Federation, called him to come up on the stage and stand with the big guy, the crowd just erupted, man. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what's happening outside? I mean, I figured that Antifa and Black Lives Matter and civil rights organizations were all out there. Now, people like you and I cannot be expected to be out there because we're too toxic and we don't represent anybody, right?
You're right, yeah, as usual.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was kind of waiting and et cetera, but then I thought, well, okay, you know, on Friday, yesterday, there would be, you know, conversation denouncing because, boy, I'm telling you, the President Trump talked about Representative Omar like she had a tail. And like I said, it appears that she made sure that she was not even in the country, nowhere to be seen, if you will. But she sure, you know, this was so terrible. She dumped her husband and her three children. And now people are saying that she did, in fact, marry her brother, who also forgot to declare himself as being, quote-unquote, gay. And that becomes important when you talk in terms of what the process is that you go through to ask for entry and then later citizenship in the United States of America. So I don't know. Donald Trump came here, and you said it earlier, Donald Allen, is that they peeled the onion. They really peeled the onion on us. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
So phone lines are open, by the way. Let me do this. 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. The Ron and Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities snow cover, Twin Cities and Minneapolis and St. Paul. we thought that we were going to have the liberal base. Notice I said the liberal base. I didn't say the conservative base, Mr. Allen. You know, I didn't step on your toes. Was going to indicate, you know, what they were feeling and that they were out there in the streets and et cetera. You know, Tifa ran out there, threw some bottles and at the police and et cetera. And I'm telling you, the police came swooping out of those doors at the Target Center. They unlocked those doors and came sweeping into the streets and faced off against Antifa and all the rest. And Antifa and them scurried like little rabbits.
Yeah, and that's what happens, Mr. Edwards. That's just, you know, I'm kind of upset and taken aback by the misrepresentation of the local media and what they decided not to report and what they decided to report. And
yes,
most 90% to me, in my opinion, 90% of the stuff they reported was false, especially listening to NPR. Yeah, of course, NPR, Minnesota Public Radio, is a left-wing arm of the Democratic Party for news and information, and they're not fair and balanced, period, because if you have a news anchor, someone on the air is supposed to say, you know, Donald Trump would be in town. Okay, you leave it at that. You're reporting the news. But when you say President Donald Trump will be in town, oh, no. You know, and you inflect or infer some type of negative connotation to that, you're not reporting news. You're up there giving your opinion all day. You know, you're not doing news at all. And so a lot of that went on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday. I'm sure it's going to go on today. Because they cannot stop talking about it. And even the impeachment inquiry, you have to know the difference between an impeachment, an actual impeachment, and an impeachment inquiry. And they're misleading the general public on the news. Because I'm walking around and I hear people saying quickly that, oh, yeah, he's going to get impeached. He's like, it's not even at that stage. This is merely an inquiry. Get it together, news. So it's kind of shameful.
Yes, I hate to agree with you, Don, from my position on the left, but I've seen just all kinds of peculiar things. I put a piece out in the Spokesman Recorder talking about the impeachment and the difference between an impeachment and an actual trial as opposed to the inquiry. And the piece got lost. The Spokesman Recorder lost the piece that said they would put it in, but what they did, they had a woman by the name of Stacey Brown, who works for one of the Black Publishers Association, had a 1,500-word piece in the Spokesman Recorder. And I just kind of smiled because I'd already been made aware of the pressure that's being put on by white Democratic liberals here in the state of Minnesota. And they've got the African American community, you know, bucking and winging and scratching and et cetera. But you know, I didn't realize that they could silence the African American so-called leadership in the manner in which they did. In fact, I would have thought just the reverse, Mr. Allen, that they would have wanted. It appeared to be that the black masses were present and were marching and et cetera, but I began to hear too many whispers on Tuesday, Wednesday, and early Thursday that folks was talking about job security and financial security and et cetera, and they weren't going to be doing anything to tick off the extreme right here in Minnesota. And again, that leads to the discussion that's going on now that the Donald, if you will, left Minnesota with at least $4 million in donations and et cetera. And that's, you know, those are the amounts that are being spoke to. Like I said, though, phone number is 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from, and I think that we're getting closer to being the red state, Mr. Allen, and people want to fess up, if you will, because – man, I saw and watched a lot of Billy Bob. And by the way, man, a lot of them cats was packing. You know, they left the long rifles in the trucks and the Winnebagoes and et cetera, but they were flying in on private planes. It was being facilitated for them. They were coming in from as far as Idaho and Montana, Colorado, Wyoming, and et cetera. But, you know, I thought maybe even as late as Wednesday, Mr. Allen, I thought that we were going to see, quote-unquote, leadership on the left stand up. That didn't happen. And I got to tell you, I mean, that Trump is mean on that Twitter because he kind of beat our little mayor. And by the way, the mayor told a fib. I'll just say it like that. I don't want to be disrespectful of my left-wing leader. But the mayor said he was just informed 2 days, 3 days before the Thursday event that the president was coming. That's just not kosher. You know what I mean, Don? That's just not kosher, if you understand what I'm saying. Because the way the Secret Service operates, they had told the government of the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul weeks and weeks and weeks ago that the president of the United States would be here in the Twin Cities. His vice president would be in Lakeville and St. Paul, and then they would join together on the podium at the Target Center. And now people talking, well, we just got notified just 2 days ago that the president was coming. Come on, be upfront, be tough. You know what I'm saying, my friend? And I know you kind of like that. You know, you're watching the so-called Democrat / left, if you will, kind of fold up like spaghetti, man. Really, yeah, kind of fold up like spaghetti. But go ahead, phone lines open. You know, give us your thinking. And as, by the way, just kind of an update also, boy, I've been getting a lot of calls. In fact, I did do a special, as we had discussed on the radio station KMOJ a couple of days ago. Lenny Chisholm, who is a commentator for KMOJ, invited me to come on. He said that he had been following the investigations being done by Don and Ron, if you will. And we were joined by a Mr. Lacey Johnson, who's been on this program a couple times, if you will. He is a black Republican, confirms it, admits to it. But we had an excellent program because we're still trying to figure out what happened to the money. And I understand you have some new additional inquiries and questions that have been posed. So, you want to share it with us, Don?
Yes, I would. I'd love to share with you. Last week, our show, we went in depth. We did a deep dive on the North Minneapolis Credit Union and what was going on over there. And the executive director was released, and then the CFO, chief financial officer, was released. And it was a mess. But
it was in the reverse. She had to fire him. And then when played the game of that the board was discriminating against a white person, they aced her.
They
I was trying to figure out, have your people been able to find out by the investigative route where the severance money came from?
No, and that's a good question. That's the $430,000 question, Mr. Edwards, because, you know, people have signed up to be a part of that. There are people that have committed as much as $10,000. You know, God forbid that anybody gave the credit union or their principals any money in the past 2 years, but besides the city and the Phillips.
They did, Don. The mayor in 2018, and he had to declare that when the Star Tribune began its investigation, though the original investigation was by a small white newspaper called the Northside Post. The mayor, interesting enough, and sometime in 2018, gave him $50,000 cash money. Now, Lacey Johnson said on the program that I was with him on Lenny Chisholm at KMOJ that, contrary to what the mayor was quoted as saying a week ago yesterday, that not a single penny has left City Hall. Lacey Johnson, who is a banker, a financier, says that that's totally untrue. And I'm getting some feedback, Don, from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, who are really pushing the investigative report as they did in the collapse, $40 million collapse for construction, that money had gone out to the organization, and that seems reasonable that that would have been the money that, that the Ms. Conley, later discharged by the organization, would have put together for her lover, right? Because
yeah.
And we're not being ugly, because she's the one that was quoted as using the term relationship, lovers, and et cetera. So don't want anybody to get ticked off at Ronnie and Donnie, okay? Don't get ticked off at us. We're merely reporting what the big white newspaper wrote, and we all know that that's supposed to be the gospel.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Edwards. So, I mean, with that said, there's no details publicly out there about where the money is. It's not like Lieutenant and President of the Police Union, Bob Kroll, who tells you that they're going to sell shirts for $20 and donate 100% to this charity, all proceeds to this charity. You know, that's public knowledge. That's full disclosure. That's transparency. But when you look at this credit union that is $1.3 million, you know, it's floating around somewhere, there's been no line item or itemized spreadsheet provided to the community, even the 60,000 people in North Minneapolis who were supposed to benefit. There was nothing said that, okay, we're sorry, we screwed up. Here goes the detail of what happened to the money. Here's the money that we still have questions about. But yet, Mr. Edwards, you know, me being on the right, I have to look at this like, okay, does the DFL in Minnesota go after DFL people? Never.
Ooh.
It'd be just
let me just say this, Mr. Allen, because every second is important as we talk in terms of this latest knockdown punch, which once again has knocked the African-American community out, if you will. The young lady, there was a young lady that called Mr. Chisholm's program, and I had the feeling that she may have very well been a legitimate staff person who was also required to give some kickback as it pertains to money for Ms. Conley and her lover, if you will. And she, I think, was as honest as she could be under the particular circumstances, and that means that I guess she still has a job. I guess. I'm not sure. Because she said exactly what you said just now, Ms. Allen, is that she had put an amount of money into the credit union almost over a year ago. And she and hundreds of others have been waiting for a financial update report. And she said over there, if you will, on the Lee Chisholm program coming from KMOJ, that they had yet to receive any documentation with regards to what happened to the money. I mean, we could just start with the $50,000. That certainly requires. Now, one of the things that we heard some discussion of, and I think it was by a real strong pro-Trump law enforcement, were making sure on Tuesday and Wednesday, coming off of our program last Saturday morning, that they were talking in terms of the complaint that's been filed with the Minneapolis Police Department under criminal statute, that there has been misappropriation, mismanagement, and theft. And I notice even the Star Tribune seems to be a little quiet on that, because it's put pressure on the Phillips Family Foundation, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the largest Jewish foundation in the state of Minnesota. And their chief executive officer was, you remember, we talked about this last Saturday, he is a member of the board, if you will, also a member of the finance committee. He was quoted a couple times last week, if you will. And then there was, and we cannot find and trace this person. And my colleague, Mr. Allen, this time last Saturday, went into the dark side, if you will, into the computer world. And we could no longer find the board roster. If I'm incorrect, Mr. Allen, on the right, you correct me. We could not find the board roster. We do know of Malcolm Wells and Mr. Tartofsky if you will, because they were quoted and identified in the October 30th edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Now, Mr. Allen, do we have any update? Have we been able to find the roster of the board
You know what, Ms. Harris? I looked pretty hard for that roster, and I could not find it anywhere. But, you know, I don't have to work Thursday and Friday of this upcoming week, and I was talking to a couple other people, and we are planning on going downtown Minneapolis to the police department and file a formal complaint to see if they would launch an investigation to follow this money and find out what happened to the collapse of the North Minneapolis Credit Union.
Let me just correct you, though, from the left. I don't know what you guys may be doing on the right. That actually has already been done, and that was reported. I hate to have to say it, by the Minneapolis Star Tribune. The police department has been conducting a investigation. That's why the second story all of a sudden came out, that Ms. Conway was terminated, services were terminated, because she was in a romantic relationship with her lover, if you will, which is not what she even began to discuss with the Minneapolis Star Tribune 2 weeks ago as they prepared to write the story of October 30th with regards to the collapse, which, by the way, had terminated the services of the two individuals 2 months before it became public in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and then later was picked up by the Ron and Don program out of Minneapolis and St. Paul. But I must kind of correct you there, sir, is that the police department does have. Now, my understanding is that Mayor Jacob Frey, who has statutory and charter authority over the police department, has let it be known, I hate to say this, we're breaking it here on the Ron and Don program, that there is to be no in-depth examination of the complaint filed. But I think that you and associates from the right, I think you should go down there and do that. Yeah. The public has a right to know, because Lacey Johnson hinted on the Lenny Chisholm program that there's could well be $1.3 million that cannot be accounted for. $1.3
million. I'm digging deeper, Mr. Edwards, and I'm finding out now that on October 18th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at New Salem Baptist Church, they're going to have a community forum about the credit union. It's sponsored by the ABPEP, which is the Village Financial Cooperative, and it's at 2507 Bryan Avenue North. Get fresh updates and meet the new leadership.
That is the sanctuary of the Reverend Dr. Jerry McAfee. That's his church. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't think that they would be that bold. But would you repeat the date and time, please, Mr. Allen, because many of us have been waiting, and this came up on Lenny Chisholm's program a couple of days ago. Could you repeat, please, for our international and local audience, time and place again, sir?
It's a community forum about the North Minneapolis Credit Union on October 18th, coming up this week, which is on this coming Friday, at New Salem Baptist Church at 2507 Bryan Avenue North. It's a daycare and light snacks will be provided. Get fresh updates and meet the new leadership. But still, we have no list of board members at all whatsoever here.
Wait a minute. But you're saying it says meet the new leadership? So
yes.
What happened to the old leadership? Because let me, again, this is a part of the investigations that have been carried out by the Don and Ron group, if you will. In May of this year, just a couple of months ago, actually, Ms. Conley stood before the powerful Minneapolis City Council and gave them an update as it pertains to what kind of progress was being made, how much assets were in the coffers, and et cetera. Now, you really got me confused from the left. I know those of us on the left are a little slow. We're not that keen. But I'm not understanding the new. said, when she was standing in front of the Minneapolis City Council, oh, let me go back first. When she and her friend, later to be a lover, received that $50,000 from the mayor of the city of Minneapolis, are you saying now they didn't have a board? They didn't have anybody to supervise the money? And I was being
They said to meet the new leadership. So, I mean, that's what it's saying now. That's what it's saying now. And so I'm kind of tripping because I'm here looking at this thing, and it's not, you know, I mean, they went from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, and they're trying to, like, I guess, glaze over or, sorry for this, whitewash this this mess up they did. And the press release distributed on the 28th of September is from Malcolm Wells.
Mr. Wells, Malcolm, bless him, was the gentleman quoted, and we want to be very, very concise and precise. Malcolm Wells, I guess he's the PIO officer, is that right, the public information officer, because he was quoted in the Minneapolis Star Tribune on the 30th day of September. I keep saying of September. He was quoted in the Minneapolis Star Tribune as indicating that there would be something and that something had happened, but there would be a full explanation. And then later quoted was the head of the Phillips Foundation, if you will. But now I'm like you. I'm really confused. And of course, you know, I'm an older African American. You know, we confuse easy. But I'm confused about the new leadership. I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean at the meeting at New Salem on the 18th, on the evening of the 18th, starting at 6 o'clock, that as you try to ask the question, I imagine they'll make you put your questions in writing. When you try to ask a question, that they'll tell you, they'll get back to you. So if you ask the question in writing, should you put your return address on it or what? Because the young lady that called into Lenny Chilson's program a couple of days ago maintained that the paper trail turns out to be text messages. There's been no light paper sent to any of the hundreds of people, many, many African-Americans who put their faith in this institution and et cetera, who haven't heard anything back. So people can go to New Salem on the 18th, and the folks are going to tell them where that $1.3 million is, right? Think the mayor will be there, Don? Think the mayor will be there?
Oh, I hope he is. He should be, at the least. Mr. Edwards, we have some people that have been holding for like 16 minutes now. And,
oh, my God. Well, let's get them in. Let's get them in. We've got so much going in our city.
Yep, the producers say this is Steve from the Midwest. You're live on the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
We're just so-so, Steve. We got snow here kind of inclement weather here. But what can we do for you? You know, we're in the land of Trump, so what can we do for you?
I think I heard earlier you said that Black Lives Matter and some other organizations didn't show up to protest or something.
Antifa, the extreme military wing of the Democratic Party, they and Black Lives Matter and some others came after the president had left.
Oh.
That shocked both Mr. Allen and myself at our production meetings. We thought that. And the media here, the local media, kept saying that was all of them in the streets, you know, standing below the camera there in front of the Target Center and et cetera. And it really turned out it really wasn't. It was those Trump supporters who had not been able to get the necessary tickets or et cetera. The arena was already filling up. In fact, we have skyways here, you know, because of our northern, you know, climate. And there were thousands of people in the skyways going back 3 to 4 to 5 blocks because we have quite a, you know, innovative system here, skyway system here in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And people could not get through because there were no seats left in the Target Center, which has a capacity, like, let's say, for a basketball game of 19,006. I don't know where the 6 came from, but 19,006, and then if you rearrange the so-called playing floor, per se, you can get in easily another 1,000 individuals. And so the security, the Secret Service, the MPD, and others estimated clearly a solid 20,500 in the target center and at least another 15,000 outside in the streets. I don't know where Antifa and Black Lives Matter were during that particular time, but I know they did not, quote-unquote, show up until after the president's caravan, convoy, if you will, left the target center for the trip back to the international airport here in Minneapolis, and he reboarded Air Force One.
Oh, okay. All right. I also had a question about Prince's estate. Did Donald Trump play any of Prince's music? Is that true? I mean,
Let me address this because he knows Prince is principal people very well. Go ahead, Mr.
You know what? The people downtown, Donald Trump has no control over any music played outside at the First Avenue and things like that. But, you know, these Minnesota people, they go represent their national heroes, et cetera, local heroes. And, yeah, there was Prince music playing, but it was not ordered, arranged, or set up by Donald Trump personally. And he did not go to First Avenue, but First Avenue was blaring out Purple Rain and all these other songs, and a couple other venues were. So that was a choice by those individuals. And
you heard it from the right, my friend. And by the way, I don't know. Yes, Steve, I do know that some of your personnel have been in the Twin Cities. The venue that Mr. Allen's talking about is approximately less than a half block from the furthest corner of the Target Center, First Avenue, First Ave, as they call it. And Mr. Allen, I have to say that Mr. Allen is absolutely correct. The Trump reelection campaign group had nothing to do with the music being played. That's something that First Ave or somebody else going to have to explain. I know this. I have to say this, and I shared it with Mr. Allen as a part of a briefing that I'm aware of that took place. Somebody during the course of President Trump's meeting and conversation, et cetera, blew a whistle. You know what that man, some special forces people in these gray shirts, and kind of people were kind of wondering what they were. They were some ex-former Minneapolis cops that were a part of it, and et cetera. They grabbed this person so fast. He blew the whistle, made the mistake of blowing the whistle, thought he was clowning. They grabbed him so fast. I assume he's still around, still alive. They grabbed him so fast, man, in a very professional manner, and took him out of that auditorium so fast that some people did not even have the opportunity to swing their head around. The security down there provided, starting with the Secret Service, was just kind of unbelievable. But again, to the issue of Prince, sir, Steve, the president's group had no control over that.
Okay.
I hope that kind of satisfies that inquiry. Anything else, sir?
Well, speaking of security, it's my understanding that the Oath Keepers said that they were going to be there, providing security also on a voluntary basis. The Oath Keepers, the right-wing military, paramilitary group.
That's who the gray shirts were, sir.
That's who the gray shirts were? Okay.
That's who the gray shirts were. Those are former Secret Service and military and police officers. Yes, they did. They wanted to actually engage FLIPA and Black Lives Matter when they finally showed up and started throwing bottles at the police. But Chief Madera Arredondo, the African American who is chief of the Minneapolis Department, would not allow it. And the special unit, we kind of, and on the left, call them the Gray Ghost, if you will. But they are well trained. We were aware that some of them were being brought in from places like Montana and Idaho from their training facilities there at Sandpoint. I don't know if you have that on your GPS, but Sandpoint, Idaho, where is where their training base is, and then they have another one just outside of Mars Hill, North Carolina. Definitely. And it's interesting that, if I could ask you, sir, where did you pick up that intel that a special elite private security operation was had surrounded the president to protect him?
Well, it was just a little blurb that came up on, I believe, on Twitter, that the Oath Keepers would be there, and that they plan on protecting Trump at a lot of these rallies now. From so I was just curious if anybody saw them actually show up, and it sounds like they did.
They did. It is on video. The NPD, Civil and Secret Service, and others have archived that. And I saw. I can only speak for myself. I don't want to create problem for my associate, Mr. Allen. But I saw video, and et cetera. In fact, there were a couple of former Minneapolis police officers who were part of this elite private security army, if you will. In fact, one of them, actually, a couple of black officers, you know, reached out, tried to speak to him, and it was kind of hurtful because I've seen these guys together talking and et cetera, but they put on the stone face. They would not even recognize these black officers.
Wow.
And by the way, every black officer in the Minneapolis Police Department, male and female, were required to be a part of the security arrangement and security detail.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I have like one last question. Is that did Trump or is his organization saying now that they're going to win Minnesota? Is they expecting to win?
Yes,
him,
the president indicated in his 106-minute speech that he is going to win Minnesota. He came close. He pointed out in 2016 that they are prepared, and of course, when he said that, the arena went berserk. I mean, people were just screaming and applauding and et cetera. But yes, he said he intends to win Minnesota, that it is on his radar to be turned totally red, if you will. And that's the reason that people actually, and it's not tongue-in-cheek here, people are saying that Bob Croll should consider running. It's remindful of a situation that was probably almost before, you know, people like yourself and Mr. Allen's time, when a gentleman who is now deceased, a former lieutenant in the Minneapolis Police Department named Charles Stenvig. Stenvig became, based on the law and order platform in 1970, became the two-term mayor of the city of Minneapolis. And boy, it was tough in this town for the African American, if you will. Even Charles Stenvig, for those out there with their little mice and et cetera, go on your computer. But it was interesting about Charles Stenvig, and this is also kind of the history, some say, with Lieutenant Bob Croll, is that Charles Stenvig became only the second mayor at that time, 1970, in the history of this city, to hire an African-American to work as an administrator in his office. The gentleman is also deceased, but many, many know him. And this is all a part of our responsibility here at the Don and Ron program. His name was Richard Parker. Mr. Parker was one tough individual, and he just passed from this life about a year ago. But yeah, I remember people were saying that you had to give Charles Stenvig some credit for doing some things, and I know Mr. Allen loved this, Steve, understanding, is that that Charles Stenvig did something that the liberals weren't prepared to do, because we were coming out of the turbulence of the 1960s when Charles Stenvig won an election, his first term as mayor of the city of Minneapolis. And people are now saying that Bob Croll, president of the Federation, is on a route, if you will, on a platform to be able to do the same thing, to possibly become the next mayor. See, I knew that Don was going to do that. become the next mayor of the city of Minneapolis. That's how entrenched Trump's base is right now in these cities. Now, let me tell you, if I could, Steve, is that one of the shrewdest and one of the few shrewd black politicians here in the Twin Cities is the first-term mayor of the city of St. Paul, Melvin Carter, Jr., who didn't say a negative thing about President Trump. He also made sure that no St. Paul police were sent over here to augment the Minneapolis contingent. And I know Don just loves that, that Mayor Melvin Carter declined to send police personnel to help out.
Mayor Carter, if I could just interject you.
Go ahead, Mr. Dowd.
Yeah, you got me going now. See, Mayor Carter in St. Paul doesn't have to use President Trump to raise funds for his campaign, okay? Jacob Frey, Mayor Frey in Minneapolis, is a one-term placeholder mayor like Betsy Hodges was, okay? So he's doing everything for that continued 15 minutes of fame, and then he emails, yeah, you know, Trump is coming here. We have to stand up against Trump, so donate to my campaign. Come on, man. Well, as Melvin Carter's just laid back. He's not a one-term placeholder mayor. He can stay there as long as he feels like it. I mean, there's some bumps in the road over here in St. Paul, but he'll get to fixing them because, like Mr. Edwards says, why you don't have to say anything negative, you know, about anybody. You have to work on what's going on in your city. And I applaud Mayor Carter.
See, Steve, we appreciate it. We're getting ready to wrap up. You can see just how nervous I get when Mr. Allen from the right points those things out as we discuss some of the history. Now, I can tell you this, sir, and we appreciate your continued alertness and et cetera. See, nobody wants to talk about or remember Charles Stenvig. Lieutenant Bob Crow is cut from that cloth, if you will. The history of Charles Stenvig bringing law and order into Minneapolis, and basically, with the exception of very few of us, oh, yeah, I'm arrogant about it, he broke the back of, quote-unquote, the civil rights movement going into the 70s, in the 1970s. It was fascinating, the number of, quote-unquote, black leaders that trembled in front of Charles Stenvig as they are trembling in front of Lieutenant Bob Crow. Appreciate you calling in, Steve. Thank you, sir,
right.
For calling
Thank
from
you.
The Midwest.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
hey, Mr. Edwards, one more call? The producers tell
– How much time we have left, Don? I'm trying to check.
We have about 22 seconds, and we have a caller. Caller,
get the caller in. We're obligated. Go ahead.
Okay, producers tell us
M.
Go ahead.
M. Sorry to call so late, but I did have a question. It's really kind of bugging me, and it's for Mr. Allen. What has led to your unwavering support of this president? I mean, what has this president done to get you to just turn cartwheels when he comes into town and be so excited?
Wait,
please,
can
you just give me a brief something about your love for number 45?
I'm going to break it down. If you stop talking, I'm going to break it down. Listen to me. This is the president of the United States. Like President Obama, I supported the president of the United States. Like Bush, like Reagan, like Carter, I supported the president of the United States. Okay? And it's not, I've never met President Trump personally. He's never personally done anything to me. Like a lot of people on social media is going after Bob Crow. What did Lieutenant Bob Crow do to you besides selling red t-shirts and a police officer selling t-shirts, then your problem solving skill sucks. If you're upset about President Trump and what he and our local backyard is screwed up, your problem solving skills suck. Okay? I might not vote for Trump next year, but that's my choice. And you can't hate on me for liking a guy who stirs the pot, because we do this here every Saturday. We stir the pot.
Well, nobody said
so
they hated on you.
It's just
I'm not picking your allegiance.
It's just
I'm not going to fall in line and pick the best master. Okay? I'm not going to be following the DFL. I barely follow the local Republicans. But as the President of the United States, as an American citizen, I'm going to support whoever the current president is, bottom line. Thanks for calling. Okay, Mr. Edwards, we have 9 seconds left.
Ron Edwards from the left, and we know we're running out of time. I would encourage you to call us as early as possible next Saturday because I feel like I want to give you a little bit more time to raise some questions to us. That's what the Ron and Don program is all about. I say that again to you openly, and the phone lines, we'd like for you to get to us a little bit earlier. Hey, all I can say, Don Allen, the right is did their thing, and boy, y'all are kicking behind, and allowed me to hear James Brown tell the gospel.